Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screamed, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program of Bruce Miller, longtime entertainment reporter, and we are back in our first episode of 2026.
We're ready for the new year. Are you ready? Yes. I am so ready. I feel like a float in the parade.
Yes, yes. It's exciting. They've renewed us for another season, so that's all good, right?
But let's hope. Yeah, and there's still stuff that if you haven't seen, lots of stuff that needs to be curated before we get to that big period of time when the best pictures kind of separate out from the other ones. I'm surprised. You know, I'm seeing backlash on Song Sung Blue. Have you seen this?
Not yet. No, I was hoping to get to it during the break, but I couldn't quite get there.
There's another son that apparently we didn't consider who's now upset about this because he was not mentioned, but he wasn't mentioned in the documentary either.
Okay.
So it makes me curious if this is just a money grab or if it's, you know, did they miss something? I don't think they did. I think it's still a good film, and I think it's one that bears seeing if you haven't seen it. So,
right. And that's, you know, that happens in cinema anyway. Like, you know, you remember the Buddy Holly story.
Right.
They forgot one of the crickets. I think, wasn't it Queen? The Bohemian Rhapsody, they left out one of the members of Queen. I mean, you know, they're doing that to famous people. Some random kid in this is,
right,
doesn't stand a chance, I don't think.
No, and you know that any kind of screen biography done about somebody is not the truth.
Right.
I can't tell you how many ones I've seen. I go, well, that's not how it was. So it's just, you have to go with it. It's a different form. It's a different kind of way of telling a story. And sometimes you embellish things and sometimes you pull away. So
yep.
That's just me talking.
Right.
Well, what did you see over the holidays? What did you see?
Well, you know, this was the Christmas break was the end of an era, really. I mean, Stranger Things. We got the last.
Yes, you are one of those people. And did it end the way you wanted it to end or not?
Well, so I'll put it to you this way, okay? You know, I was a huge fan of Seinfeld, and I didn't really love the finale of Seinfeld. Huge fan of The Sopranos. Didn't really love the ending of The Sopranos.
How about Lost? Did you like Lost?
I didn't really watch Lost. Game of Thrones, that last season was just miserable, right? Even How I Met Your Mother, that was one of my favorite comedies of all time.
That
poor last season of How I Met Your Mother just kills me.
Well, they went on like 7 years too long. So
right. The journey just like, really, this is how it's ending. So the ending is Stranger Things. Like, I know a lot of people still haven't seen it, so I want to be careful to reveal too much. But I will say,
it didn't please you.
No, it did please me. It did not disappoint me. I was fine with how they wrap things up. They left it. I don't know if I would call it a cliffhanger. Like, there's nothing more coming. You know, I don't know what the spinoff situation. I've heard rumors of spinoffs that might head
Could
in other
they do
directions.
A movie?
Maybe, but they really wrapped it up. Like, it feels like it's done. You know, but they didn't. They left something open ended with one of the characters, a main character, as to what happened. You know, did this person survive? Didn't survive? It's a bit of a mystery, and That's all I will say about that. But I didn't feel disappointed. Like, I thought these last four episodes were really solid. I know there were some people that didn't like the penultimate episode too much. It was the one where, you know, Will kind of revealed his sexuality, which everybody knew. You know, we all knew it. This wasn't a mystery. And there seemed to be some backlash because of that. I had no issues with it. I really thought this whole final season was really strong start to finish. The last episode, you know, it kind of ended about a half hour, 45 minutes then before the actual episode ended. You know, that whole epilogue kind of took a while. So, you know, it was a 2 hour, 5 minute final episode. You know, you throw away the last 5 minutes for credits, so you're looking at about 2 hours. The whole final kind of like battle with Vecna That took place an hour and 15, hour and a half into it, and was done. So then it just kind of gets into like what happens next, where do things go? And it was very touching. I thought the touching was the end was touching. It was emotional. It was kind of funny in some ways, because you could kind of go back into pop culture and the mom, in the show, one of the moms, she got her hair cut, and it reminded me of when my mom got her hair cut right around the same time. It was like, wow, that's my mom's haircut right there.
Flashback.
Yeah, this is like so on point, right, to the 80s. Those kids, they graduated. It was a class of 89. I graduated class of 94, so that puts me about 5 years behind them. So, you know, they're in their mid-50s.
You
now,
could relate. All right, well, then how did the family square on this? Did you have everybody felt the same way?
Yeah, I think everybody in general was good with it. Like we all liked it. We had watched the final episodes. Like I think we were done with it by the 29th. And then on December 31st, New Year's Eve, we tuned in at 7 o'clock. Mercifully, Netflix did not crash. We were able to watch it without issues. We got logged in, no problem. And yeah, it was good. We were really happy with it.
Well, but then you saw other things that I did not go to.
Yeah. We also, I don't know, I can't remember which day it was, 29th, 30th. We went to see Avatar, Fire and Ash. And you love Avatar, and? Right? Isn't Avatar your favorite series?
Yes, it is. I couldn't sit that long. That's impossible.
It, you know what? My bladder by the end of it did not explode. I paced myself with the beverages, knowing what I was getting into. I did not like this movie. You saw the one before this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The water. What do they call it?
Yeah. And then this one was fire.
It was the same movie. It was like literally the same movie, just with fire.
I don't get why it takes them so long to get these done if it's the same plot.
Right. It really, the first Avatar movie was its own beast, right? And then the last one took it to a new place. This one just kind of picks up where they left, and they kind of just, you know, they introduced they do a little more with it, but it was the same thing. They were still hunting those big whales you know, it was the same thing again. And like now we got to wait, what, 2 more years, 3 more years for the next one out of this?
See, that's what I don't get, because if they did all this stuff in advance and we've waited years for this,
right?
Why in the world can't you start poking these out a little faster?
Yeah, this is, I don't know if I'd call it a review. It was more of a, I don't know, critique of James Cameron. And it was talking about how every movie James Cameron does kind of like raises the bar on something he did previously. And in this critique said that this Avatar movie was the first time that
he phoned it in.
He kind of, well, wouldn't call it phoned it in, but didn't raise the bar. Like there was no new achievement. There was nothing. This was not better than what he had done previously.
The technology, you know, was the kind of the benchmark for this.
Right.
And then you thought, well, what new things can you show us? Can you have them just sitting in our laps? What's the next step?
Right. Right. And it's like, where are we going from this now? I mean, we've got supposedly, so this one came out on December 19th, according to Wikipedia, which take it for a grain of salt, but I think it's important in this context. Avatar 4 is due out December 21st of 2029, and Avatar
That's
5
too long.
Is due
That's
out
too
December
long.
19th of 2031. This is ridiculous.
No, that's it. Walt Disney was able to get a new one every year when he did cartoons.
Right.
Why can't they?
Yeah, I understand that a lot of the time is being spent on the special
technical
effects. Right.
Yeah.
It's all technical, right? But clearly other movies, like you look at Star Wars, you know, the Star Wars, even the more recent one with J.J. Abrams, those movies were only, what were they taking, like 2 years to get one done?
Right.
It was like every other year, right? This should not be taking 3 to 4 years each time.
Well, and when you have the actors saying, I'm not sure which one I just filmed, because they're kind of filming everything together, and come on, can we not separate some of that stuff?
Right, right. It's just, I don't know. Like, how old is James Cameron now?
Is he going to make it to the 2031?
He's 71, so... You know, he won't be 80 by the time these are all done, but still, you're at an age where, you know, like, people live well past their 70s now.
Right.
But
really? I hope so.
You hope so. But he's also at that age where, you know, you just never know. People die when you're in your 70s.
And doesn't he want to do another kind of movie? Is there another film that's in there? I know he does a lot of stuff with National Geographic.
Right, right.
But, you know, is that... what your output is, I don't know.
I don't know. I think at this point, it just feels like this is what he's doing. I mean, I don't know if he's got other things in the works. Is he strictly doing Avatar movies at this point? I don't know, but it's just,
and how involved is he? You know, come on. You tell, how are we doing around here? You know how it is at work sometimes.
Yeah.
Somebody just kind of walks around and you got that PT report or that TP report done. And kind of junk.
He is. I mean, he is the writer, director, and producer on these. I know he has other people working with him. He's, you know, he's not flying solo here, but those are still the biggest roles on the film. So I'm not seeing other projects under his name. So, I mean, maybe this is what he wants to do. He's going to just do nothing but Avatars from here on out and just retire.
Okay.
I don't know.
How did it look on the big screen? Is it like I must go to see it in the theater, or is this something I can wait and see it when it's on Disney Plus?
Well, this is, so somebody, I was talking to somebody online about this, and that's kind of what I said. I didn't love the movie, but it's also one of those movies where you're better seeing it in the theater than at home. I mean, if you really want to give it justice, I mean, it did look amazing. We can't take that away from it.
Yeah. But I got a pretty good TV, you know, I could.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you've got anything 55 inches or bigger, you're probably okay watching it at home.
Okay. But the big question is, how many times did you refill the popcorn bucket?
Well, we did our, you know, it's that $6.99 on the big bucket, and you get the refill. So we just go in and we give them two buckets, and they just fill them both up for us for $7, and that's all we need. Actually, I still have some of it upstairs. That stuff lasts forever. You put the snap top on the bucket, and you got popcorn for at least a week after. So
spoiler alert, we have a popcorn company here in Sioux City,
okay.
Jolly Time Popcorn.
Oh, sure.
And you can go and buy those huge bags that you see at theaters for like next to nothing if you just go out there. So popcorn is not a missing commodity in our lives. We can always get it. But there's something about going to the movies that you kind of need it. I'm just sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll put it to you this way. The movie wasn't terrible. If you want to see it, go see it. I was just disappointed in it because it just felt like we're rehashing so much of what's already been done before. But it looks great. It was, you know, technically speaking, it was a well-done movie. It's amazing on the big screen. Go see it if you want
to.
But, you know, is it... I don't see it winning anything other than maybe, you know, special effects or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and where they talk about it's going to be nominated for Best Picture. I don't think so.
No, no. I mean, if it does, it's because we're nominating 10 films. So could it be the 10th in that list? I guess it's not winning.
But I think Wicked for Good is one of those 10 point, near the bottom. So if that gets in, you ain't getting Avatar in there at all.
No, I would be surprised, but
what
do I know? What do I know, right?
We'll see, right?
Exactly.
And the Golden Globes are coming up. The Critics' Choice are coming up. So there's a lot of all that can start swaying the general thinking. But, you know, I hear now I've just complained about how long it takes them to get one of these avatars out. And it took them almost 10 years to get a second Zootopia.
Right, right.
And that was, I think that was a reflection of changing leadership at the Disney company and Pixar. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're primed now and we're going to start seeing more of them like on a regular basis because they've invested in Shanghai. They have a Zootopia land and okay. they're building one in Walt Disney World.
Okay.
At the Animal Kingdom. And they already have, if you know the Tree of Life, were you ever in the Tree of Life?
Yeah, yep, years
where
ago.
Where it was like, it's tough to be a bug or something like that.
Right.
Well, they've stripped all that out and it's a Zootopia show now.
Okay.
So they're, it's like Cars. They put enough money into this that they're not letting it go. And it was huge. It did really well over the holidays. So I think that is one you need to see if you haven't seen it. And I got a chance to talk to the star, Judy Hopps, played by Jennifer Goodwin. And you remember her from Once Upon a Time, I think it was called. It was on ABC. It was like fairy tale characters that were all kind of screwed around. And then she was also in Big Love, which is on HBO.
Which, one of my favorite HBO shows of all time. My wife and I started dating around the time that that show was on. Yeah, and we dove into that one pretty hard.
And that had a good ending.
Yep.
That was one where they said, well, now nobody's going to be able to pick up and do something different for a revival because they told you everything. So we all know what happened. But I love that. But I got a chance to talk to her, and she tells about, you know, how people are reacting to her as the character and why it's so big. This was a real curious thing for me because in China, it's bigger than anything else Disney has done. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. And I thought, what is that? Because I didn't think the first one was like, oh my God, this is better than Frozen. I think, and she talks about that. And so here's a chance to listen to what Jennifer Goodwin has to say about Zootopia 2. Sure, it's Bruce Miller. It's the Sioux City Journal. Jennifer, you have the job that I've always wanted, which is a voice character in a Disney film. What is that?
I understand that dream.
What is it? Really cool? Is it like everything you think it is?
It's way better.
Really?
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, I always thought that it was, I love acting. I love playing characters. So I was like, oh, it's playing a character in a realm where anything is possible because animation makes impossible things possible. And then it ended up that I was going to, in experiencing the process, it's actually not acting at all. It's like the opposite of acting. It's being told, like, show up and be as present and authentic as humanly possible. Like, let's swim through these emotions and see, like, where these scenes go, because the animation could always follow. I mean, it's really freeing.
But isn't it better than acting? Because then people don't necessarily recognize you, you know, when they see you on the streets, they go, oh, that's Judy, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I find it startling for really little kids when their parents try to explain to them. And I always want to be like, no, don't break the like fourth wall. Like, let this be like for them. There is like a walking, talking rabbit somewhere. Like, let it be that. But yeah, I do feel like it's better. And in fact, I love my privacy, but it is also really fun that I've been recognized a couple of times by people just hearing my voice. And then that does actually mean a lot, like placing an order at like a drive-through window, or I was once asked for, I've had people be like, Judy Hopps. And I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Yeah. But I mean, because it's my voice, because I'm not like putting on a voice.
I was at Shanghai Disney and Zootopia is like the thing. It's like, I couldn't believe how Mickey and Minnie really are kind of secondary to Zootopia. Why is that? Why are they so hot for the movie and the characters?
I mean, you'd have to ask someone so much smarter than I am, but I know that the time that Zootopia 1 came out was a time of real movement by this particular generation, like a rural Chinese generation, like moving to the big cities. And so I think that there, you know, it has been explained to me like they're with a real parallel happening in Chinese society in terms of like there were a lot of Judy Hopps moving into Zootopia. And so I think there was, it was relating in that way. And like it is not a secret or a mistake that the Zootopia skyline like has some similarities with the Shanghai skyline.
So assuming you went there, right? You've been to the park, right?
Is it
weird walking around?
And it's wonderful. It's wonderful too, because I can go there and just be a tourist under the radar because, you know, there's like 40 something actresses who are performing Judy Hopps around the world and who are translating our work into their own beautiful languages. And so there is a Chinese actress who plays Judy Hopps. There's actually, I think, two Chinese actresses who play Judy Hopps. And so they are the ones who I assume are recognized for the role there. And so I can just go through the park and just be there.
Have fun. Yes. What do your own kids think of it? Are they excited about this or do they go, oh yeah,
right? No, I have like the most not jaded kids. Thank goodness. They have no interest also in anything else I've ever done. Anything that my husband's ever done. Like he was in Thor. We were in Once Upon a Time together. It's not like we're smooching other people on camera. Like my children are in my pregnant belly on that show. They are Disney nuts. They have no interest, but they are all Zootopia all the time. They love it.
So then do they get all the stuff? Do you get all the merch and give it to them or not?
My house is all merch. And the thing is too, that's different with them is that I've never like allowed us to have, I'm very big on like work is not life. And so even though I'm obsessed with what I get to do for a living, and I'm really hardcore with my kids about like, don't be sad if I have to go to work because like, we're really lucky that we love what we do. And I pray that you do something for a living that you love. And like, I want to be an example to them of that. However, there is Zootopia stuff. That was like the one thing that was different. After Zootopia 1, I like hung up Disney art, like Zootopia art. Because I was like, this is an exception to the rule because this is so, so other level special. And now the house is like all Zootopia merch all the time.
We know what they're getting for Christmas, right? There we are.
100%, including my husband. My husband does not know that he's opening all kinds of merch.
Oh, good. Well, hey, thank you so much. And happy holidays. Have a great one.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce, for that interview. Fun to hear from Jennifer. I, you know, it's funny. Obviously, this is an audio podcast, so you can't see the video. But, you know, you sent me the video of the interview. And I didn't even recognize her at first because she used to have really long hair. And she's got that really short haircut now.
Yeah.
And it just like, wow, you know, you've grown up from where you were years ago. I guess, you know, she's close to my age, a little bit younger, but
she's got two kids around their age. Yeah. And can you imagine though being at their house? Oh, good. I got another Zootopia item.
Right.
Thanks. Yeah. Right.
All that.
I thought I wanted a PlayStation. Are you sure you're not getting me one of those? Zootopia.
Zootopia. You get another toy. Lucky, right. Lucky you. Yeah.
If you play it right, we'll get you one of those Happy Meal 70th anniversary things. But yeah, right. So it was fun to talk to her. But, you know, now we've got to start putting our focus on the new TV stuff.
Yeah.
Because the new seasons are coming. We've got The Pitt starts very soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen 9 episodes of it. And it's wow.
Yeah.
It's great. And a lot of new characters where you go, wait a minute now, we didn't know this one. And there are new young doctors that are coming in. People who have, some have left, but a different attitude. And it's fascinating. And of course, I told you before, it's set on the 4th of July.
Right.
So. Right.
And what could possibly go wrong?
No, I can't imagine.
At the 4th of July, right? No spoilers here, but you could probably figure it out.
I wonder what might be happening on the 4th of July. But there's another one that I'll have to tell you at some other point that is like, whoa, really?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Dr. Robbie, the character played by Noah Wiley, it's his last day before he has to go on, or before he will go on vacation. Mm-hmm. And he's just dying to get out of there. And yet everything keeps kind of pulling him back in. And then there's a, let's just say, They hearken back to the old ways of doing things.
Okay.
And so that's kind of fun, especially when they bring in an old timer who tries to, you know, the young doctors that want to, like, you boomers don't know anything. And here this old person comes in and really helps them. So it's fun. It's real fun. And I'll tell you, I wish that you could binge it all, because I would. I would sit there and watch all 15 hours of it right in a row.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, HBO, it's a once a week kind of thing. So
yeah, if it's a strong enough show, I guess you can come back, but some I've bailed, you know, you got to 5 episodes and you go, I can't do anything more.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know, The Pitt is kicking off what could be a really interesting year for HBO. I mean, that's obviously a huge program for them now. But we are supposed to be getting another season of House of the Dragon at some point this year, I believe. And they have another. Well, I didn't realize this until recently, but we have another Game of Thrones series, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is debuting at some point this year, which I know they're going to give us 2 Game of Thrones series this year. And then they're going to go into like an alternating thing. So we'll only get 1 a year, but we'll start getting like, next year will be, I think, season 2 of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And then the year after that, we're going to get season 4 of House of the Dragon. And then the year after that would be season 3 of Knight of the Seven. So for Game of Thrones fans, you're going to be getting a lot of stuff. And that's another, you know, we're complaining about Avatar. But you look about it, the original Game of Thrones.
They're able to do it.
Right. We were able to get a season a year out of Game of Thrones for the most part. But House of the Dragon, that thing has been like dragging on. If you can.
Well, and
you
know how long can the dragons sit around? They
right,
got to
exactly.
get them flying. Come
you
on.
You got to get them flying. But so we've got that coming. Season 3 of Euphoria is due back now? That's going to be a good
how
one.
Old are they?
They're like in their 50s now, right?
50, oh, that's man. Really old.
No, I mean, it is kind of comical that, you know, everybody jokes about how old the Stranger Things kids have gotten. I mean, Euphoria is no different. I mean, they're like,
right,
all of them are probably 30-ish now.
They've got to do something about Jacob Elordi is going to be killed off or something, because his career is way too big for this. And Zendaya isn't going to hang around all the time either.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that this is the final season. I think it is. I thought they said that, but you can't keep doing this series, especially if you're taking this long to produce episodes. But that was always a good series. I liked it.
Okay, so what do you think's going to happen to all those Stranger Things kids? Are they going to all get work?
Well, Millie Bobby Brown, yes, because she's gotten work and she's done things. So, and Finn Wolfhard is a musician, so I think he'll be around. Joe Keery, who played Steve, was doing voiceovers for American Revolution, the Ken Burns series. So,
okay.
He's got gigs. Some of them, the kid that plays Dustin, I can't see him doing things. I mean, maybe, but
yeah,
some of these folks, I don't know. I think it's going to be a mixed bag.
They're going to do Comic Cons. We're going to see them all around signing things at some point, because really there are too many there that they can just dispense of, and there's no job for you.
Right. I mean, you know, some of them I think we'll see over and over again. But, you know, like David Harbour, we'll probably see him.
Yeah,
in something.
He's and I think he did Broadway. And another one, what is the young boy's name? Gatton, you know who I mean.
Matazzaro? Yeah.
Is that his name? Yeah, yeah. He's been on Broadway. He was in Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
So I think that'll be his future. But some of those ones, geez.
I mean, you know, Brett Gelman, who played Murray, he's a comic, so I mean, he'll be around. Winona Ryder, you know, we'll keep seeing her in things here and there. I think Jamie Campbell Bauer, who played Vecna, he's got the look of somebody who we are going to see for years to come. Like, he's just got that look to him. But I don't know the rest of them. I think it's just going to be hit and miss, to be honest.
Well, and the Stranger Things Broadway show is doing really well. So maybe a couple of them can just slip in there and play characters in that.
Yeah. You know, the I think the one thing that I always liked with Stranger Things was it really brought, you know, it was this play on the 1980s, right? But what they did is they brought back a lot of actors from the 1980s. You know, we got Winona Ryder, we had Matthew Modine, Sean Astin, Paul Reiser. And then the big one this year was Linda Hamilton, who quite frankly was in a underused, I think, like, you know, you're bringing back mom from Terminator and,
right.
And, you know, she's kind of in this role where you're like, yeah, right. But yeah, I don't know, completely underutilized in my opinion, but you know, we'll see. Maya Hawke is another one. I mean, the lineage
right.
there, we'll be seeing Maya Hawke for years to come. Obviously.
She still has to do the dad and daughter show.
Yeah.
You know, they're always looking to do something like that. Back on Linda Hamilton. Linda Hamilton is one of those few actresses who don't dabble in the Botox arts.
Right.
And I think that's to her advantage because I think you do get roles. And I do think that she was smart not to do that because you mm-hmm. could see her kind of all puffed up and then they put her on some nighttime soap or something. She yeah. would be one of the hunting wives. I bet you that's coming back too.
Yeah. So, you know, that's it'll be interesting to see how those kids kind of move on from here. You know,
yeah.
It'll be a mixed bag. I think you're right. We'll see a lot of them at Comic-Con, but you know, some of them are just like, you know, when you're the daughter of Uma Thurman, you're going to keep in Ethan Hawke, you're going to keep getting work, but
right.
You know, some of them we probably never will see them again.
Well, and those are the ones that you'll pay $50 for to get the signature.
Right. Right. Exactly.
As opposed to the other ones who will show up once they put up a big barrier so you can't shoot a picture without paying. And they're $95.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah. It is what it is. But I think we've got a good year to look forward to. There's a lot of good stuff that... is coming out of the next year. I think movies are going to be better. I don't know that this last year was that good of a year.
No.
But I do think that the next year is going to be good. And I think it's because of who is out there making movies. You know, you have these kind of every other years, which I think we're in now, that a new name could spring up and get some attention. But then you've got the heavy hitters. Steven Spielberg has a movie next year. So come on. It's going to be a fight to the end next year for the yep. best of the bunch. But I'm excited. I think it looks like a good year.
Yeah, it does. Well, I'm excited too. So I'm glad we're back. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.